Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, I would like to welcome you to the Full Moon Rage. I am your host, Mr. Wolf, and tonight I'm bringing the radio show out of retirement. Yes, it's been quite some time since I've broadcasted. There's been not much of a reason to do so. But with that being said, let us go ahead and get to the beginning. First of all, the reason I'm broadcasting tonight, the namesake of the show, is The Legend Revealed of Alice Live. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with The Legend of Alice Flagg, I will give you a brief summary because there are multiple different versions. The legend began not long ago, surprisingly, of a young lady who was of an upper-class family, the Flagg family, a family of doctors and large landowners in the Georgetown County, Waccamaw, Horry County area. Now, with that being said, the story goes on to say that she fell in love with a man of lower stature. In some essences, it's said that he was a man in the lumber industry. He was a carpenter. I've heard various versions. But apparently their love was infatuated to the point that they had secretly gotten engaged. When her older brother, Dr. Allard Flagg, learned of this, he sent her off to a boarding school in Charleston, South Carolina. And in that school, it's where she became ill And word was sent to him of her illness, and he promptly stagecoached all the way to Charleston, South Carolina, which was not too easy of a feat back then. That was some pretty rough, unpaved roads, especially the 60-mile venture from Georgetown to Charleston once you cross the Sandpit River. So with that being said, the story goes on to say that he got her, and some tales recount of her passing on the way home, and other tales pass. You have to forgive me. I had to interrupt some cats about the fight and really interrupt the show, quaintly enough. And other tales have of her making it home to the Hermitage, located in Merle's Inlet, but is now Wachusett Plantation and part of Magnolia Beach, which, if you've not heard of Magnolia Beach, we'll get to that shortly. Now, it was said that while examining her during her illness, he found a ring on a ribbon around her neck where she wore it secretly. And he became so enraged that he took the ring and cast it into the inn. Alice is alleged to have wakened and looked for her ring and did not find it where she had left it around her neck on that ribbon. And that she died looking for her ring, as goes pretty much most of the legend. I grew up hearing that story. And of course, I heard it much prior to my teens. And that story is a common one, second only to the story of the Legend of the Gray Man, which is one of the more populars on the Carolina coast. But with Alice, when I first visited her grave in the 80s, I saw a grave that had trinkets, flowers, and a lot of attention to it. And literally a circle surrounding it. And as goes the urban legend, if you were to circle her grave so many times forwards, and I've heard forwards and backwards, that she would take the ring from your finger to see if it was hers. Now, that, again, urban legend. A lot of people have told some tall tales surrounding that. As I have discovered, it was not long after my first visit that I made a second visit there when I happened to be doing some work nearby. And I actually had lunch at Alice's grave during the noontime hour. It was a beautiful day. And again, there were trinkets, there were coins, there was little rings on the grave of Alice at All Saints Episcopal Church in Pawleys Island. This showed me of the interest and the love, but it was then that I noticed something. It was the grave directly behind hers, a memorial to two of her family members that were swept away in the great tidal wave of 1893 on Magnolia Beach. Well, you have to understand, that caught my attention. I mean, hey, when did a tsunami hit the East Coast? Well, being a little older at the time, that's when I took advantage of the late-blooming nerd that was developing in me, and I knew how to utilize my local library. Now, for those of the younger /millennial generation, I am a Generation Xer from the early 70s. I grew up knowing how to use a card catalog in a library and also the benefits of historical research in a microfilm department. So that's where I went, and I began looking into the old newspapers that were coinciding with the date on that grave of the tidal wave. And if you will notice, in the collage of photos I've put up, if you're watching this or listening to it online, that one of the newspaper excerpts, I put a clipping in, and it's one that really caught my attention. It was, the storm occurred on Friday, 1893. The first newspaper put out the following day, on Saturday the 14th, stated, "A terrible sly coon slipped in on us from the Danish West Indies last night." Two more papers were to follow that same day to get the news out, as that was the only method of news at that time, as we were years prior to radio being a commonality in every home. And that struck me, but what struck me the most was when I saw that four bodies at this time in the paper of October 16, 1893, had been recovered. And one of them was named Alice Flagg. I was basically enthralled by that because it did not go with the paradigm of the story that I was born and raised hearing in various different ways and in different stories. So I took it upon myself to research a little further. And it kept going for nearly 30 years now. And the last 4 years, since I've had access to a new set of archives that you can do a keyword search on rather than have to your eyes out in a microfilm department listening to the whir of the old microfilm projector screen and making printed copies. Hey, that was high technology back then. And also, I'd like to take this moment to give a lot of credit of my findings to people and the namesake in the archives section of the Georgetown County Library in South Carolina. I'd like to give them a very healthy shout out for working with me and tolerating me so many years off and on in their microfilm department. It was a fascinating time, and not only did I discover some of the truth of Alice Flagg, but I discovered also that which should be questioned. First, with some of my recent findings, let us begin with the first Alice Flagg. Alice Boleyn Flagg, November 1833, died January 20th through the 27th, somewhere in that date, as documented by the coroner's return of deaths in the city of Charleston. And let me correct myself, I kind of read off the cuff there. It was actually for the week of January 20th to 27th, 1849. The cause of death was listed as influenza, which partially goes with the legend, so I thought. And quaintly enough, all due respect to Miss Alice, her physician is listed as Dr. Flagg. Now, with her death in 1849, I was wondering, did this legend keep up through the late 1800s, all the way to today? And then, upon one of my ventures to unique places, I discovered that in Plantersville, South Carolina, in Old Gun Church, there was another grave of Alice Boleyn Flagg, except it was a little different. She was born in 1850. She was sister to Dr. Allard Boleyn Flagg, yet she died, strangely enough, in 1934, March the 3rd. Her death certificate is also within the slideshow that is presented along with the show online. Seeing her name, I found quite frequently in public record through the late 1800s, including, I believe, it was a census in the late 1870s, which had her listed living with Dr. Alice Flagg. And her occupation, quaintly enough, was keeping house. Now, therein, I began wondering, where exactly is this story going? And how does it connect to the storm of 1893 of Magnolia Beach? Well, first, I had to locate where Magnolia Beach was, and it was upon an old map that showed the Long Bay area and ports that I discovered Magnolia Beach had been renamed. A great majority of it is now Huntington Beach State Park. There were 9 homes. Only one was left standing, and it was the Hazel House. The predominant family members that lived on that Magnolia Beach were the Wards, the Hazels, the Flags, and the Rutledges. Came to me. This tidal wave that prompted all of my research with interest, out of curiosity, was actually their terminology in that day and time for what we know now to be the storm surge of a hurricane. So with discovering that, and then seeing that the date of death on the grave at Old Gun Church, also known as St. Fredericksburg Parish, it is on the registered list of historic places in Plantersville, South Carolina, it just didn't seem to match. And as I dug deeper, there was a third Alice Flagg, and that is the one that unfortunately met her demise during that storm. Now, also to note, locally until the 1930s, it's documented that that storm was referred to as the Flagg Storm because of the amount of Flagg family, good citizens in good standing with the community that were swept away and lost their lives. There was a little girl named Alice Flagg, except her middle name was not Boleyn, as the two prior Alice Flaggs, the one born in 1833, deceased 1849, the one born in 1850, that survived that storm, barely made it off the island, and lived until 1934 and 35, arguably. She was Alice Rutledge Flagg, who was born 1890 to Dr. Albert Flagg and his wife. And there are two monuments, one that bears her name as also her brother's. You will see those in the slideshow as well. Now, with all my findings, I contacted a local, a very, very savvy and well-respected historian of the supernatural legends within our area and the tales of lore within our history that's very unique here to the Lowcountry and the Grand Strand area. And this person was quite shocked and made me aware of a TV program that came on October 30th of last year on South Carolina Educational Television concerning, and of course, Halloween-themed the day prior, that covered several of our ghosts of famous in nature, but also some groundbreaking interviews with two nieces and two nephews of the man created the legend of Alice Flagg. His name is David Wilcox. He was one of the owners of the Hermitage. And I first of all want to give complete credit and the utmost respect for these family members of the now deceased Mr. David Wilcox of coming forward and beginning the path of healing for the legend that, of course, was told in the Southern fashion, spinning a great yarn and a story of interest that everyone would just find so amazing, and aka one of our Southern tall tales, as per is our namesake. But this gentleman inadvertently, and I do not believe he meant to, created a story that demonized a good man. By all accounts, through all of my archival adventures and studies that I just absorbed, I saw nothing but good documented of this man. He was a doctor that birthed thousands of some of us locals' great-great-grandparents. He was a man that would open his door at 2 a.m. while you held your relative, knocking on his door, as there were no ambulances, there were no phones. And it was a Hippocratic oath of a different day and age that was much more firm. He turned away no one. He survived the storm of 1893. But his good name, and I do feel a calling to do so, will be returned, hopefully, in my lifetime. Now, with that being said, let us carry on to what else I discovered. Back to the nieces and nephews, they admitted there was some trickery and that he had a great knack for embellishing stories to give them more interest, and that they believe very firmly he concocted that tale surrounding the grave of Alice at All Saints Episcopal Church, which bears only the name Alice. No date, record of death, or last May, but it is in the Flagg family plot. With the findings that I have discovered and the little piece of a puzzle that the family that spoke on air and gave an interview and confessed to even assisting in some of his prankster-style trickery of scaring guests at the Hermitage who wanted to experience the ghost of Alice, they put in the final puzzle piece, and that is the Alice of 1849 that met the age requirements for such a legend was in all aspects not buried, presumably, at All Saints Episcopal Church, as that is not where the Flagg family plot was at that time. I have not located, though I could be wrong, I'm leaving this open for error, I have not located any Flagg family members of that date and age around the 1850s within that family plot. They all seem to be later in the 1800s than that time. And they also stated that they had observed a burial record that was archived that claimed she was buried at Cedar Hill. They also showed a copy on this TV broadcast. There was a photo shown of it. To its legitimacy, I can't vouch 100%, and nor would I believe someone would perform such trickery. I believe they had the greatest intentions of coming forward with this information. But with that Alice closer to the Hermitage, closer to the family, and the other Alice being buried in Plantersville, South Carolina, 30-plus miles away, then who is really buried under the marker Alice? It is my belief, and this is still ongoing, but I want to be out there and I want to say it. One of the most visited graves in all of South Carolina, tens of thousands of people annually, so much that there is a depression around that grave and it's consistently covered with trinkets, is not that, in my deepest educated opinion from the research I've done so far, is not that of a 15 to 16-year-old girl whose ring was taken, and of a fanciful story that in all aspects was created to sell pamphlets at first at the store David Wilcox worked at in Murrell's Inlet, and then these several books, novels, and a fictional movie, Honeymoon from Hell, The Ghost of Alice Flagg. I'd like to give a shout out to those people for at least giving a little exposure to this. And for at least stating it was fictional. Oh my gosh, if something like that happened, I think pretty much half of the people in Pawleys Island would move away. But, you know, to stay focused here, my belief that that is a 3-year-old little girl, Alice, who was the daughter of Dr. Albert Flagg. And she was one of the first bodies recovered, as you see in the slideshow of that newspaper article from October 16th, 1893, the Georgetown Times, which you can find yourself in gcdigital.org. You can go there and see pretty much all the information that I have shared with you. Now, to kind of wrap up this show, as my time is running out, I'm on the freebie schedule. There's just a few more minutes left. I'm going to take the time to clear that we are in all aspects on the bandwidth. In all aspects, we are at a point to where legend has been separated from fact. This tale of fiction has demonized an older brother that was nothing of a good service to his community. And also, a grave has been visited while people are thinking a story that is completely false. A young girl, more than likely, where she rests, of a tragic victim to this storm. Sadly, cannot rest. So in closing with this show, the information I have revealed, I would like for you to visit facebook.com/ The Flagg Storm, 1893. There's my 90-second mark. I think I timed it down just right. Now, again, that's facebook.com/ The Flagg Storm, 1893, and that's Flagg spelled like the last name with two G's. There you will find in a lot more higher resolution a lot of the photos and the evidence I've uncovered. And also, that's where I will be announcing the book that I am working on. And in hopes that the name of it, Alice Flagg, the final chapter, will lead to the rest of all three Alices. Let us not look for conspiracies where none exist. Let us respect the dead. And let us give back the good name of Dr. Allard Flagg, as he was a foundational member of the entire Grand Strand in the Georgetown County area. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, I would like to thank you for tuning in, or if you're listening to this broadcast at another time, I would like for you to please subscribe if you choose to, or just check out the Facebook page. And I leave you with this, Novi Del Provi, trust but verify. Mr. Wolf, signing off.